The Answer Show. The Answer Show. The Answer Show. The Answer Show.
Welcome to The Answer Show. The hottest show on the radio.
The Answer Show.
Welcome to The Answer Show. You're on the line with Joe
Call.
Welcome to The Answer Show. We got all of the answers, yo.
The Answer Show.
Welcome to The Answer Show. If you don't know, now you know.
The Answer Show with host Joe Call.
Barbershops are not just a place where men stop in for a haircut or a shave, folks. It's a meeting place for intellectuals, philosophers, and leaders of industry. It's a sacred fraternity of friends who meet unexpectedly and converse about a myriad of topics. Barbershops around the world serve as a place where men feel free to share their opinions, most of which never leaves the inside of those four walls where it was originally shared. Barbershop Conversations is... it's a sneak peek into the conversations that we men have. What typically happens in a barbershop usually stays in a barbershop until now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Barbershop Conversations on The Answer Show, and I'm your gracious host, Joe Paul. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode. We thank you for tuning in. We definitely want to stay connected. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube at Joe Paul Speaks. That's plural. I'd also like to invite you to join in on our highly controversial answers discussions that occur Monday through Friday starting at noon Eastern Standard Time. Simply log on to Facebook.com/Mr. Joe Paul to join the conversation, and we'll certainly be waiting for you. Joining me, as usual, on every single episode of the Barbershop Conversation. You know, barbershops usually have a quartet, but we're a trio, ladies and gentlemen. And joining me on this episode is my brother from another mother, A. Jeezy himself. Jeezy, what's happening, man? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? What's going on with you, man? Everything is lovely. Lovely.
If you want
to connect with your boy, you can do so on Facebook, AJ Miller, on Twitter and or Instagram, A. Jeezy, the number 4 governor. Holla at me.
And that's what I'm talking about. You heard from two people. You can't have a trio without three people. And the third person, last but certainly not least, is the reasonable bachelor himself, Mr. Jackson A. Bracey. And the A stands for A.
Hey! I like that. All right. Good evening, gentlemen. Glad to be here. If you want to connect with me, you can follow my blog, thereasonablebachelor.com, or on Twitter, at Jackson Bracey, or as Jackson Bracey on Facebook.
That's what I'm talking about. Fellas, tonight on this episode, I want to talk about dating. All right, we've been on our other episodes, we're pretty serious about other topics, and it's not that we're not serious about any topic. We just, I think it's important that we talk about dating from a barbershop perspective. So folks, if you're listening, imagine sitting in a barbershop or serving as a fly on the wall in a barbershop, and this is the type of conversation that we will have. So, fellas, I'm going to start it off right now and tell you that I don't like women with big hands, okay? So,
man hands.
Yes.
No monkey hands. No hey, monkey
man hands. Man.
You know what? Let me tell you. Okay, now this might sound crazy, but I was dating this one chick one time, and it was short stint because the first thing I noticed, yeah, she's a cute girl, but her hands were big, man. They were really big. But then when you look, it doesn't seem that big, but then she rubbed my head one time, and I swear it felt like Shaq rubbing my head, man. It just, if I didn't know any better, I'd be like, this is a man rubbing my head. And I didn't like the way that felt, you know what I'm saying? So that was the last time I saw her. And I wonder, there has to be a direct correlation between a woman's height and the size of her hands. So I wanted to ask you guys, you know, that's my thing. I women with big hands, automatically, if I shake your hand and you swallowing up mine, I have giant hands. I can palm a basketball. Yeah, she's out of the question. She's completely out of the equation. So, fellas, what about y'all? What two things? What is one thing that stands out about a woman that you're like, oh, nope, I just can't. Jackson, I'll start with you, and then Jeezy, bring us on home.
Well, I guess I'm kind of in line with what you said, Joe. Not necessarily with the big hands, but I think it comes down to a woman having what we deem as being mannish or masculine features, and that goes right in line with women with mannish sort of voices.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a cute thing at all, especially when her that morning voice, like, oh, you know, you roll
good
over
morning.
And she speak to you.
Good morning. Yeah. You want some coffee, baby?
Actually, no, you know, I don't.
But to go to what you said about the big hands, like just as bad as women with big hands to me, or just I don't want to say bad, just personally displeasing, is a woman with like those hard construction worker hands, like she's been lifting rocks and carrying bricks and things like that. The kind of you know I kind of expect that a feminine woman or a woman who I am drawn to in that way would have hands that are soft enough to rub across my face and I not feel like I have abrasions, you know?
Or rattlesnake.
You're not trying to get exfoliated by the palm of her hand?
No, not at all. If your hand feels like a loophole on my face, then something is wrong.
You ain't lying.
You're killing me.
That's all right. Okay, we got big hands. We got that deep voice. So, ladies, if you do have a deep voice. Now, speaking of voice, Jeezy, I want you to chime in. But speaking of voice, guys, now, quick sidebar. I found that the women with the cutest voices don't necessarily have the exterior to match. Like, over the phone, they sound woo. But in person, it's like, it doesn't really match. Do y'all see that or nah?
I felt that way when I was young, when I had situations where you would kind of meet these young girls. You know, when you're in high school, you meet girls blindly. Well, my friend Tina gave me your number. She said I could call. Like that type of thing. You know, but that particular girl, I find generally she's been practicing that voice for a long time because she knows that she's not the cutest. So she's finding a good way to present herself over the phone first.
That's what I was going to say, man, because, you know, back in the day when we were in high school, internet wasn't really cracking like that. Yeah, so how you talk to people was over the phones. And one of my tight boys, he was the only one in the clique. He had his own line in his room.
Oh, my goodness.
And he had
a
notebook.
Rich boy.
He had a three-subject notebook with nothing but the girls' phone numbers in it. So we just go post in his room and play Nintendo and call girls on his line in his room. But true story, though. But this one girl, her voice was so smooth. She had gained like three or four of us in the clique because the voice sounded so good. Then we all met her one day, and man,
yeah,
she was like, oh man,
you came out looking like Uncle Phil.
The vision did not match the expectation. I bet it was.
Yeah. They have a good way. So, Jeezy, while we're still on you, what is that one thing? I mean, what is that one thing that once you see in a woman, you're like, actually, I don't think so, and this is not gonna work.
So, dog, I don't know if you guys in y'all heyday or even recently in your dating experience have ever come across this, but one thing I cannot do is a woman with that has like coarse body hair in like places that typically only a man would have.
Oh
body
my God.
Hair. You know what I'm talking about?
Like on the arms?
Not even on the arms. I'm going to get personal with y'all and tell a story, Jackson. Go ahead.
Let it out, Jackson.
All I'm going to say is that I had a girl floss my teeth with her nipple hair before I realized what the hell was going on. It just wasn't what I was expecting when it was dark in the room and I took her shirt off. It just was not what I was expecting.
That is absolutely disgusting. I would have threw up right there.
I tried to play it cool and it was very difficult to do.
Wow.
So I got a Texas cab confession for y'all boys too. So
that's it.
I've encountered a woman a long time ago. But this particular woman not only had them little hairs what Jackson was talking about, but she also had like hair on her butt a little bit. And I did not like that, dog. I was like kinda grossed out by that a little bit.
Whoa.
So
like real hair,
a
lot like hair.
It wasn't like no Sasquatch type level, but you could feel it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It wasn't like you know how most girls.
It wasn't like peach fuzz.
Yeah, you could feel it. But as soon as I could feel, it, I was like, the hell? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Did y'all have that lunch?
Did y'all have that lunch lady in the seventh grade with the mustache and the head net?
Well, of course, with the mole
church.
Too.
It was church ladies with mustaches when I was coming up. And like, look, I had one lady had a little goatee at the church. She was cold. It was tapered up too. It was the lining on the goatee.
Well, yeah,
was
that
cold.
Like strangely enough, at one time during the 60s, I was told that was a rather
attractive.
It was a somewhat attractive thing on a woman. I don't know how that ever was the case, but.
My goodness.
Well, hell, I figure if you got to figure like this, Jackson. If your girl can grow a cold goatee, you bound to have some offspring that could probably ball out. I'm talking about football, basketball, shot put,
yeah.
Everything. Because testosterone is high in both you and, in your girl.
I don't know that I want a daughter who can be an Olympic shot put. I don't know that I really decide to have that, AJ.
Or who
can
palm a basketball.
I bet you Marion Jones' mama got mad body hair. I bet you she do. Look at the type of athlete she burped right there. I bet you she got mad body hair.
That's terrible. That is terrible. So, guys, let's now that we talked about it, we got that out of the way. Ladies, so if you have big hands, body hair, if you sound like a man, well, basically what we just described is a man, right? If you're a woman, if you're a woman who's kind of like a man, yeah, that's just not gonna work.
Check a hormone count.
Absolutely. So, fellas, earlier this week on the Facebook page, we talked about a scenario where a woman brought a gift to her first date meeting this dude, and she brought him a gift. The gift was like a bottle of rum, and I thought that was a pretty good idea. I mean, I think that women should absolutely start doing this if they want to set themselves apart. You know what I'm saying? If they want to set themselves apart from other women, I think it's a great idea to bring a gift, you know, to bring something, especially when you know that the dude will most likely pick up the check, at least the first couple of dates or, you know, whatever the case might be. But what's y'all take on it? AJ, I'll ask you first and then Jackson. So is bringing a gift on a first date a good idea for a woman?
I mean, it can't hurt. And here's my only hang up with women giving gifts in my personal experience in dating. Like, I'm not a user. You know, I've dated a lot of women in my past, but I've never been a user. So if I don't really care for you in that way, subconsciously and even consciously, I begin to feel bad if you do too much for me, and equating that with your how you actually feel about me. And if it's not the same on my end, I begin to feel bad. And, you know, every time you do something for me or try to do something for me, I feel uncomfortable, because I know ultimately you're doing these things because, and you're giving from your heart, I assume. Now, there are some women that will try to buy you, but typically if a woman is giving to you, that's because she, you know, she feels something for you emotionally, so much so that she'll step outside of the box and, you know, give up her monetary resources and, you know, buy you a shirt, buy your favorite, you know, cologne, buy your favorite.
And you don't like
alcohol.
To accept that, you think? You don't like to accept those gifts?
Not if I don't, not if my feelings are not reciprocated, you know what I'm saying? And I'm a gentleman, so I'm always nice to a woman, whether I, you know, love you, like you, don't care nothing about you. That's the type of person I am. So it's often misinterpreted as just me being me. It's often misinterpreted as, you know, oh, he really, really, really likes me, when I'm just doing what I'm, you know, doing what I was brought up to do as far as interacting
mm-hmm.
with a
mm-hmm.
woman.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. What about you, Jackson?
Well, yeah, I kind of tend to lean towards some of the things that AJ was saying. I would say no to a woman bringing a gift on a first date. Primarily because I feel the same way about a man. I don't believe a man should bring flowers on the first date. I don't think that people should impress folks or set themselves apart based upon the things that they bring extra to present themselves. If you know, if someone does not value you or desire you, I should say, based upon your pleasing personality, then everything else is something that you have to keep up to keep in their good graces. You know, I used mm-hmm. to tell, you know, when I was, used to work with high school age kids, like, listen, don't bring this young lady flowers as a way to set yourself apart. If she doesn't identify you as being somebody
who is worth getting to know or paying some attention to based on your natural presentation alone, then you might want to bow out of that, because people always feel, you know, especially very early on in situations and associations, when you start spending your money and planning out elaborate ways to get people to identify and notice you, people become generally disappointed, resentful, angry, upset when that type of, you know, when that type of gesture is not reciprocated. For myself, I am not a big gift giver at all, but that's primarily because I don't expect or anticipate, you know, that a woman would be, you know, bringing me a bottle of rum on a date. I just, you know, I don't need her to bring me gifts now. But I do require that she brings something positive to the table, and for me, that is typically her spirit, her attitude, and her level of appreciation for the fact that, you know, I paid for the date.
Yeah, you know,
to Jackson's point, let me throw one more thing in there, Joe. Mm-hmm. To Jackson's point, one of my homeboys, JT, I got to give him the quote credit on this. But when we talk and laugh and just joking with the boys, he'll often say, you know what I'm saying, you got to set the bar as low as possible. You know what I mean? Do the least you can to win a woman over.
Yeah.
That way, you know, once you got them, you got them. And, you know, any extra special tricks you want to pull out, that's just, you know, icing on the cake. If you can ticket nugget your girl all the way to the altar, do so. And then that way, expectations in the bar is set low. And if it's a particular time, instance, or situation where you care to do something extra special, then she will be literally blown away. But if you're trying to be cake daddy number one and take her to, you know, the melting pot on the first date, buying tennis bracelets and everything like that, you know, you're setting the bar so high that, you know, she has nothing to do but look at you in disgust 2-3 years from now because you already used all your best moves early.
You know, let me tell you guys, I believe that I agree with both you, what you both are saying, and I think that it's a double standard, really. I would definitely recommend a dude do as least as he can, as less as he can, for as long as he can, while he continues to build it up. But I think that's something that it doesn't matter where you're at. Even if you have a job, you don't want to give 110% on your first day, because you can't. what do you build from?
It's
you know
hard
what
to saying? Maintain. Yeah, it's hard to maintain. Work 16-hour shifts for 4-5 years in a row. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying?
I think it's very telling that we are comparing being with
women
a woman
to jobs.
Yeah,
because
job.
It is work.
I think that's very telling. That's extremely telling.
It's a job, man. Come on now. It is a full-time job when you're in a relationship because, truthfully, I'm speaking from experience. It really is a full-time job because not only do you have to think about this thing, you have to plan out, you have to execute, you have to look at a timeline, you have to make realistic goals, you have to make attainable goals, you have to learn from them, you have to have conferences, you talk about this, you have conflict resolution, relationship building. Yeah, absolutely, it's a damn job. You know, the only thing that's missing is money going out and none coming in. You know what I'm saying?
No income.
But let me tell you guys, I think that it's a double standard. I definitely think that, you know, whoever the person is, man or woman, no matter the gender, they should start at a level that they're comfortable with maintaining, period.
That's
now,
right.
I do believe that, you know, it definitely sets a woman apart. It may not be a bottle of wine, but it could be a thank you card or something to show the man that he appreciates her. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I love surprises. I really do. And I'm like you in many ways, Jackson. I'm not really a big gift giver, but I damn sure will accept them. And, you know, I ain't got no problem accepting. If you want to be kind, that's fine. You know, there are women who I've been with who were, I mean, great gift givers. All they would never come to the house empty-handed. They always came bearing gifts. Whether it was, you know, honey, I was at the mall, got me some stuff, and I thought you might like this sweater, or, you know, hey, I was da da da, and I bought you this car. You know, whatever, just simple stuff. You know
what said this car.
Yeah.
You know, I was out at Walmart, saw a Mercedes in the parking lot. I figured I'd pick that up.
Here you go, boo thing. You know, but I think, honestly, I think you should definitely gauge it, right? Would you guys agree? It doesn't matter. I think this is kind of a one-off, right? It's anomalous. So I don't think that every...
The only thing I would caution my boys and all the fellas on is that if you have a woman that's spending exorbitant amounts of money on you and giving you extremely lavish gifts, and you really don't love her or care for her,
don't accept
that. Don't accept them. That creates a dangerous scenario.
Yeah.
You don't want to end up on the ID network. End up on Oxygen on Sunday on an episode of Snap. If she's spending absorbing amounts of money on you, and you really, could give, two shakes about her, don't accept that. Because
let me tell you guys what happened. I have a homie, right? A true story, true story. I had a homie who, same scenario. The chick was, by any standard, she was an excellent gift giver. I mean, she gave him Apple products. Shout out to Apple. I own stock. She gave him, True Religion jeans. You know what I'm saying? She gave him a bunch of stuff. I mean, nice stuff. She really,
myself True Religion jeans. Good
Real night. Talk. But she bought it for him. And let me tell you what happened, though. After she found out Buddy was cheating, man, she came back to his crib and trashed everything that she bought for him. I mean, she broke this, she cracked
that. That was her
stuff. But it wasn't, though. I mean, she got it for him. She wasn't going to wear those True Religion jeans. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she might have been able to use the iPhone, but come on. But no, it goes back to what you were saying, AJ. I mean, if you don't like the person, man or woman, don't accept the gift. And I really believe that as far as dating, too. Ladies, don't just accept, because women are notorious for this, fellas. They will accept an invitation to dinner just to get a free meal. You did?
Just for food. And that is the perfect parallel that I use all the time for women who say, well, how will a man just sleep with you if he doesn't like you? I say, you go out to dinner just because you're hungry because you don't like him. It's the same thing. You desire food. Men desire physical companionship. You desire gifts and lavish things. We desire sex. So it's the same parallel. And to call women users or gentlemen users like we're not a world of people who are looking out for their own best interest is ridiculous. I think, and to speak to what Joe said, I remember I sat at work one time and had an older gentleman tell me, I was like 20 years old working a summer job. He said, let me tell you something. No matter what you do for a woman, it'll never be enough. So that's kind of, I laughed and I said, look what kind of old bitter black man is this over here saying these types of things.
That's real.
And lo and behold, with greater experience, I understood that his wisdom was very keen because no matter what you do for a woman, it might be enough in that space, but she's never fully satisfied in a lot of cases. So that's why, like Joe said and like AJ said, you have to set the expectation. If you open up on a first date at Shea Maurice's, then, the time that you just want to informally pick up and meet her for a little quick meal at TGI Fridays because you haven't seen her all day, she looks at that as like, don't you get used
downgrade
to Fridays. Don't get used. I mean, I'll go this time, but don't get used to this. You understand what I mean? You can give people things, and this is men and women, to a point that they have an expectation that they deserve something from you, see?
Yeah.
And I'm of the mindset, I hate the word deserve. Tell me what you have earned, okay?
Hello.
Because you got a lot of people out here on public assistance who act crazy when their food stamp check comes a day late, like they actually worked for the money. That just goes to show you how giving people something is, takes away, like you give somebody something long enough, they don't appreciate it the way they should.
True.
Yeah.
True.
One of my favorite Chris Rock bits was the one where he was talking about, he was basically going towards the same point that Jackson was talking about, basically saying you can never really completely and totally please a woman no matter what you do. But how the bit went was, he was saying basically, you can have sex with your lady with a, diamond phallus and make her orgasm, 89 times. And when you finish, she going to say, why you made me orgasm that? Why you had to do it with that diamond with that diamond phallus like that? So no matter what you do,
it won't be enough.
It won't be enough.
She gonna find a reason to be dissatisfied with it.
Yeah, exactly. If it's a spoiling, ungrateful person, you know what I mean?
True. Because there are some women who are, caring, and they truly do say how they feel. Now that's about 1.2%, but there are some women out there who are like that, you know what I'm saying? Because men,
even those caring women,
mind.
You got to remind them, To me, you do. The caring woman is not the woman who does not fall into that category. She's the woman who falls into that category of being ungrateful, but she can laugh it off when you pull her card and say, oh, so now you got a problem after I done all this and done all that? And she can say,
I guess you're right.
Yeah, I just played that. You know,
I'll just see you. True that. So, fellas, keeping with the dating theme for our conversation on this episode, kissing on the first date, yay or nay? I'll tell you guys after you answer what my vote is. But, Jackson, we'll start with you. We'll start with you and then Jeezy. So, Jackson, kissing on the first date, yay or nay?
Well, there's a two-pronged answer to this.
Uh-oh.
If you listen, it's not a bad thing, you know, if you feel like this woman you have good chemistry with, or you know you're really attracted to, or you've had one of these dates that kind of goes all day. But there is a very fine art to the pickup, that when you try to take a woman home right then and there, you have to slowly cross physical boundaries, and one of them is a kiss. If you can kiss a woman within the first, hour of knowing her, it's a pretty good chance if you don't hit it that day, you'll probably hit it the next day. So,
oh, for sure. You know. For sure. It's an entry. Yeah. It's a sign of entry. You know,
well,
saying?
Yeah. Like, you know, like it's so interesting. I never really knew the science behind it, because I had seen, you know, just in natural behaviors, I had seen people in my peer group, like, just be really successful with women, like, in space, like, wow, that girl, you just took her home? Like, you just met her, like, a lot. And, you know, you don't know where it's coming from, but when you study the science behind it, there are these barriers that you must cross with a woman.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you first
touch.
You find yourself in a space, you know, right. You find yourself where you break that physical barrier where, you touch her hand and you pull her to you, and then get the hug, and then you get to the place where you're so much in her space.
Oh, Jackson,
smitten.
See, I'm about to give him the step-by-step, the clothes on the first date, Jackson.
So let me say, it's so ironic that you said that, AJ. It just lets me know that all three of us have grown into the same experience over time.
You better believe it. You know, and it's trial and error, guys, right? Isn't it? I mean, it's trial and error. You're like, and just like a comedian, you stand up there, you tell a joke, and somebody booing, you're not gonna go the next day and say
the
same joke.
You don't do that bit again.
Absolutely.
Cancel that off the script.
Absolutely. You're like,
but
that ain't gonna work.
Give you
probably shouldn't kiss.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah. No doubt.
I'm gonna give you the play-by-play on how to close on the first date.
Let's get it.
Okay, so first date. We're just gonna automatically assume that you met her, you were attracted to her, you spoke to her, she gave you the contact info, you put a couple coins in a jukebox, and y'all got a date set up. So on a date, whether you go to dinner, have drinks, or whatever. So step one, first round of drinks, you know what I'm saying? Talk to her, make her laugh. If what you're saying makes her laugh and she looks amused and she's blushing and smiling a little bit, you're on the right track. You're like in between home plate and first base at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So by the
mm-hmm.
time the waitress brings the second round of drinks, you know what I'm saying, as you talking and making her smile and laugh, you know what I'm saying, reach out and, like, just touch her hand, like Jackson was saying. You know what I'm saying? If she leave the hand right there while you touching it and smiling and laughing, you know what I'm saying, you first and you round and getting close to second. So by
but
the
if
time,
she pulls
you know,
away
third,
don't
or, you know
cancel
saying?
That order.
Your
cancel
game,
that drink
if you
order.
Pull it away, your game is not.
Cancel that drink
your
order,
is,
man. Cause
trust cancel
me,
that
it
drink
ain't
order.
Happening.
Make sure y'all drinking the $3 vodka. If
you heard me? Go during happy hour. It's easier to swallow. It's an easier meal to swallow. You know what I'm saying? You'll be better for it. You go during happy hour because you won't feel as bad, right? You'll feel half as bad because you're paying half as much. But go ahead.
So next round, you know what I'm saying? While you talking to her, smile with a laugh, continue to make eye contact and reach for her hand, grab it, and hold it. Now, while you holding it, just rub it with your thumb a little bit while you smiling and talking and looking her directly in the eye and saying
not
whatever
hard,
you
though.
Think is
gentle.
Smooth to say. Don't grab it tight, though. Just loose enough so she can pull it away if she don't like your ugly. You know what I'm saying?
Because rape is bad.
If that works out for you, you got a double, and you in good at this point in time. So
continue to do that. Continue to warm her up. You know what I'm saying? If you sit on the opposite side of the table at that point in time, by the next round, you might want to even just move around to the opposite side of the table and just sit in, you know, close proximity to her. And if she's feeling that by this point, you're in good. And by the time you get the check and you're ready to leave, you know what I'm saying, it's safe to say that you can probably move in for the kiss.
I agree.
But you can't be shy and shaky with it. You got to go,
you gotta be confident.
Full force, slob it down. Like you knew you were gonna be able to do your thing.
Women will let you know too, and you know one to add this to you to the scenario. Well said, AJ. Definitely,
most
if
women.
You,
here's your key, right? Most women will not let you touch them at all.
If you're sitting there, right, and I think it's a great idea to change locations. I love changing locations. I love starting at a real busy place, right? So that way she has to kind of get tired of yelling. So we need to go to a place.
So when you grab her hand and say, come outside with me real quick, it's an easy transition. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, right? You're in control of your environment. I mean, if you're at a library and say, hey, let's go talk outside where it's even more quiet. No, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's going to reverse. But if you're at a busy, busy bar happy hour, you're like, man, you know, I'm having trouble. I want to focus just on you. So you wouldn't mind just taking a walk, right? There's a park actually right up there. You know, I'll take care
and
of the
taking
building.
Taking that walk is a good idea, Joe. Do you believe to like take a hand?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's
and if
that's
you don't
the,
reach
see,
out,
that's
man,
key.
That's my signature. That's my signature.
Yeah. That's your signature
that.
Right there?
That, I'm telling
hey, man,
you.
Listen, let's talk about something else, man. We give up a little bit too much on the radio.
We
here,
are.
Man.
We are. We
go
yeah,
a little
yeah,
too
yeah,
far,
yeah.
man.
Hey, take
the game
has
to be sold, not to be
sold. Everybody listen to the show right now. If you use any of these tactics, my PayPal is AJMiller@thepmwgroup.com. If you get any action, I need $19.99 PayPal to me immediately.
With
immediately
a
following your date.
Please. With a written testimonial. You know what I'm saying? We need to package these goods and sell them.
You know what I'm saying? If you get some action and I need my $19.99 and I'll send you a personal prayer package for your repentance after the fact.
So let me ask you guys, keep it on dating. One of the things that I appreciate most, and, you know, we've talked about this before offline, and, you know, you're sitting there, and here's the scenario. You're having dinner. You're enjoying it. Things are great. The check comes, and she, you know, there are two possibilities that happen, right? And at least from my experience, there's two. One, as soon as the check comes, she's like, I'll be right back. Got to go use the bathroom, right, all of a sudden, which means you got this, and by the time I come back, I know you're going to put your card in there. Right?
Transaction better be settled by the time I come back. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the second part is her actually reaching for it and even picking up the check, which I think is one of the sexiest moves a woman can make because, you know, traditionally that's not her role to provide, right? And so when she steps out of that and does something kind of non-traditional, like picking up a check, I mean, to me, that elevates her to a completely different status than other women who typically would allow you to pick up the check or use the bathroom. Same way as a woman who brings a gift versus women who don't. That's just how I see it. Now, let me ask you guys this. AJ, I'll start with you. What do you think? I mean, a woman picking up the check, is that a good thing for you? Is that a bad thing? I think it's awesome. I think women should do it more often, because especially if you have a good-paying job, you're expected. Because, see, let me tell you how this. Moving on, hey, I'm not going to take this whole, you know, I'm paying for everything stuff. Not when both of us are working. Now, if you homeless, I get it, right? You know what I'm saying? So,
cardboard box on me, baby. Cardboard box on me this week.
But if you're you know, gainfully employed, nah, you're going, hey, we're dating. You know what I'm saying? So we're not combining and commingling. You know, nah, we're dating. So you're going to pick up some, and I'm going to pick up some. Now, some women might think, oh, that's terrible. You know, but you know what? Doesn't matter. You don't have to date me, and you don't have to have the best time of your life, right? So here's what happens. I believe that women should pick up the check early and often. Right? It doesn't have to be a practice, but every time they do it, I think it should definitely happen. And women are sexier because of it. Jeezy, what about you, man? Women picking up the check. What's your take on it?
I agree with you, but I'm going to expand upon what you said and just give a little bit more detail as to why it means so much and it's appreciated so much. So what it says to me, what it communicates to me when a woman picks up the check when we are out on a date together is it says three things to me. It says, I really like you and care for you. I appreciate your time, and I respect that you work hard for, you know, every dollar that you earn. Therefore, since I'm getting the same enjoyment out of your company that you're getting out of mine, we can, you know, we can go 50-50 on this. You know, I can pay tonight, you can pay the next time, and whatever. So it just creates a reciprocal relationship to where you don't feel as used, you know what I mean? And you feel, you actually feel appreciated. Like, when anytime a woman reaches for a check, when I've been on a date, I instantly feel appreciation and gratitude.
Yes.
Like, wow. Because
yes.
I'm not expecting it. I'm never
yes.
expecting it. So
yes.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So that's
a great feeling.
That says to me, though, that says to me those things that I previously stated. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's like a level of appreciation, respect for, you know, not only me as a person, but my time and my resources. So, especially if I already liked you anyway, that's going to increase my level of, you know, respect.
Liking
and
you more
for you. Yeah, yeah.
I like it. I like it. I like it. Jackson, what about you, man?
Well, first, let me say, very well said by AJ. I think that he kind of spoke to the things that I think that we all feel about just in general being appreciated. I've heard so many, you know, any man over the age of 30 dealing with women in this kind of dynamic has heard some of the most appalling things come out of people's mouths about this very dynamic. I heard a woman once say, oh, if a guy didn't pick up the first check, oh, we just friends. And, you know, and I understand we're buddies. And I understand to a certain degree how she comes to that kind of conclusion. But at the same time, I think that, like, the dynamic of dating is so skewed in that initial sort of context that we're still living on these antiquated formulas from, you know, the 1800s and 1860s, when you had to come to a woman's house and sit in front of her parents and court her and then show that you had enough money to provide for her, to take care of her the way that her father is. This is kind of that same kind of mindset. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't mind paying for the first date because we're going to go somewhere where I don't feel like I've lost anything by spending $40.
Okay, no, really,
which is my max. But
walk
into
McDonald's,
time,
may I take your order, please?
Let me get 6 20 piece nuggets.
But at
y'all
the same
still got
time,
the dollar iced tea?
Yeah, right. At the same time, I understand. You know, women, I think, need to understand that, like, it's inappropriate to just feel like a man is lucky to have your time. Yeah. Like, I need to pay for the right and the honor to get to know you. You understand what I mean? And I think that that's kind of the way a lot of women unfortunately feel about dating. This is why women expect you to buy them a drink when you meet them in a bar, because you should pay for the time to get to know me because I'm cute or whatever. And I personally find that to be very low-level thinking on someone's behalf. And it's just not something that I get down with. But I will say this. When a woman reaches for the check, like AJ said, it makes me feel very appreciated beyond just being somebody who's feeding me. And that because sometimes it comes across like, well, you ought to be feeding me. You see, you're taking up my time. You see, that's the kind of like dynamic that is set up. But when a woman offers to pay, you know, I probably won't let her pay. At the very most, we would go gut. At the very most, I wouldn't let her pay. But it goes back to what an older woman told me once about what young women don't know about being a lady, as opposed to what we knew 30 years ago, is that a man will do more for you when you come across as, number one, not feeling like you're using him or you just absolutely have to have him do these things for you. He's more prone to do more for you. You understand what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
sure.
And when you have your own, and when you seem to appreciate the fact that I would do something for you, it makes me want to give to you more. So,
true, very true. I mean, it's all about appreciation, and men absolutely need to feel appreciated. I mean, that's just plain and simple. And if we feel like we're doing something, and you're saying that your trade off is being there. Like, women will say, "Well, I am the gift, or the date is
I
my
am
gift.
The gift. Yeah. I am the prize. Yeah, yeah,
hold
yeah.
up. Hold
that's,
up.
That's stupid.
Yeah, yeah, I know it is.
I hate girls who pump fake on the bill, though. If I catch a girl pump faking, I let her pay.
True, you mean like reaching and come back?
Reaching. Yeah. No, like she's like, oh, please, Chris, I just really want to pay for this, and please, you know. But then it takes her like 15 minutes to get through her
purse
and figure out where her card is. Like, I sit right there and order another drink. And you know,
absolutely.
Come on, man.
You paying for this. That's great. That's great. Let me ask you guys this. One thing that you mentioned, I think it was either Jackson or AJ, about drinks. Jackson, was you, about buying drinks in the club and all that stuff. I'll tell you this. When I was a boy, yes, I bought women drinks in the club. I thought that was what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, hey, guys, rounds on me. Not anymore. You're not getting drunk on my dollar. No, sir. No, what I do now is I don't buy women drinks. Period. I do not. And I hate when a woman says, are you going to buy me a drink? Whoa. What
they
a turnoff.
What?
Do
that?
That's a classic example of a shit test. Excuse my language. A classic example of her trying to give you some SHIT to see how you respond and handle it. I typically say, oh, no, I absolutely won't buy you a drink. I don't even know you like that, you know. But you know what I'll do? In that very same space, I'll turn around and buy whoever's with me a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you get the point and know what's not
going to
do. I can do
it, but I'm not going to do it for you. You know,
yeah,
and I'm certainly
not
going to
do, gonna do that for you, yeah.
Real talk. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but AJ, to your question, yes, women do that. women have asked before.
That's that,
I've been in situations where they
have. That's that DMV. That's that DMV boobs.
Hey, but it's not that. Well, you know, part of it probably is. But, you know, I tell you, I just don't believe in it, man. I really don't. I don't believe in just buying a drink. I'm like, hey, look, you know, if we need to have a conversation for you to have a drink, won't you, there's a guy right across there who's looking at you. Why don't you get him to buy your drink and mine?
This is another tip for the fellas that probably might be simping and getting used and abused. Here's the only situation and scenario under which AJ buys woman drinks in the club. So I will buy a woman a drink in the club if I've already approached her. We already been rapping. The vibe is good. And we've been standing there for 10 or 15 minutes. And, you know what I'm saying, I already got the contact information and everything like that. At that point in time, when I feel like I built a rapport with you and, you know, whatever, my time and resources will not be completely thrown out of the window. Otherwise, I could just throw my dollars in the G-string at the strip club or something like that. After the point in which I feel like we have a rapport and that, you know, you still here, you talk to me, you give me a little bit of rhythm back, the same at which I'm giving you, then, yeah, you know, hey, you know, hey, y'all, what were you drinking? Let me replenish or refresh that for you. Boom. That's the scenario in which you buy a drink. You don't walk up to the baddest girl in the club and your first words are, you know, what are you drinking?
Let me get you a drink.
Because not only is she going to tell you what she's drinking and drinking when you bring it back, she's going to walk
away
with your
retarded
ass when you bring the drinks.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Let me tell you what this chick used to do.
And give it to her boyfriend that's in the club with her.
Boom.
So
right
then
and there.
Don't do that.
That's why I go to the club with
me.
Chicks.
Yeah,
that'd
probably
that's
be me she brought the drink to. Yeah.
That's why I go to the club with women. I go to the club with women because, you know, I always take one or two friends with me, you know, because especially when dudes try to holler at them, they be like, you know, hey, so what you drinking? Oh, gin and tonic. They pass that drink right to me. You know, so you know they don't drink no gin and tonic. Ah, that's my drink. Yeah, gin and tonic.
Right,
so
right.
Absolutely, that's why I go to the club with women. But yeah, I don't believe in buying women drinks in the club. I honestly, there are other places to meet quality women. I don't think that you're gonna meet too many quality women in the club setting. That's just my opinion. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some couples who have met in this type of setting and are doing pretty well. You know, shout out to them. But they're few and far in between. So,
not to disparage the women that go to the club and have a good time, because that's the same reason we go to the club and have a good time. But I think the point that you are making is that don't be wasteful and retarded with your resources. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just have a little bit more restraint when you're approaching a woman. If you have to buy and pay toll or anything like that in regards to getting attention from a woman,
you're starting off
losing.
Wrong already.
If the words that are coming out of your mouth are not enough to capture her, just walk away because losing.
Real time.
It's the same thing we were just saying about taking a woman to Shea Maurice's on the first date. That's
true.
Inappropriate.
True.
You know?
Unless you're getting drinks during happy hour, that's a different story. Now, I mean,
if a woman enjoys
$2,
dining.
If it's $2 vodkas and you got $80, then ball out and buy all the girls.
For sure.
Whatever.
For
but
sure.
don't try it at a premier club, you know, on the hottest night
no.
as your of trying to pull a woman, because you're just going to get used and abused.
Or show up late when they're already drunk. There you go. You know what I'm saying? Show up at like one in the morning. Then I can ask you.
In the parking lot with a reflective vest though and an offer rock.
Hey, you remember parking lot pimping? Y'all remember that? Go to the quarter court and let out. Man, I remember. We used to get right at the house and then go to the let out. Literally, like have a house party and then go to the let out of a club just to not be in there. That was the fun we used to have. Let me ask y'all this. So, during dates, right, women and men, people on the date typically ask all types of different questions, so on and so forth. And now this particular question may come a little further down the road, either before you start exploring copulation. And one of the questions that people typically ask is, you know, so how many people have you slept with, right? Now, here's my question
people
for y'all.
People typically ask that?
Bro. You've never been asked that question? I mean, you know,
let me tell you, not in my later years. I think when I was young, like, and by young I mean, you know, 25 and under, I used to ask that question when I was dealing with women who I was kind of into. But on the north side of 25, that's a question I figured I didn't want to talk about.
You don't even really want to know that.
That's
yeah,
what I
because
don't,
most
because
most people's response is gonna be, I don't even know, bro.
Yeah,
yeah. Or a lot, yeah.
True. There it is, right there.
76.
So let me ask y'all this. So should people be honest about how many partners they've had if they choose to answer that question? I mean, that's typical.
If somebody asks, then yeah. But I mean, I think that you gotta put it like this. I think you're dealing with somebody at this point who's not necessarily on the positive side of their personal levels of security if they're asking that question at this point.
Yeah,
you know, you're,
exactly.
You get to be 30-some years old, man, and people still asking you, you kind of have to wonder, like, what did you think you were dating a virgin? Or, like, I don't understand, like, why we're asking this question now. Because think of it like this. This is the way I've done the math in my head over years. You know, when you're, like, 25, 26 years old, you believe these stories and women tell you, oh, dog, she only been with, like, three people, her boyfriend in high school, the guy she dated all through college, and the guy who she was engaged to, like, a couple years ago. Like,
that's,
you know,
a damn
you really
lie.
Believe, and you really believe that 26-year-old, 27-year-old woman has only been with three people. Certainly it's possible, but I'm going to tell you in the streets, you got to know that it's not the most likely. But think of it like this, because I know for myself, one of the worst things that I could ever do in my life is marry a woman who is a
reformed hoe.
Yeah, like you understand what I mean? The woman who's
that's
been with everybody.
That's the greatest fear of any man.
Yes, and that's every man's greatest fear, that I'm going to go to her class reunion and everybody's going to be looking at me like, God damn.
Like,
I
damn,
believe,
son.
He married
Saddleback Sandy.
Right, right. And women, and what I think, and women, you know, will call men all sorts of names about the hypocrisy for that, but we value each other for different reasons. Men like to be able to put a woman on the pedestal as something special because she doesn't have a lot of smudge of fingerprints all over her, you know, pane of history, her glass pane of history, okay? So, but just think of it like this. If you take a young woman who no one would call a woman of ill repute if she had her first sexual encounter when she was 18 years old, right? Let's say she had her first sexual encounter when she was 18 years old. And let's say she carried on their relationship for 7 to 8 months. Mm-hmm. By the time she has gone through relationships every 7 to 8 months, and she is now 30, we're talking about 20 men that she's been with.
Yeah.
Now,
at
when
least.
You say 20 men, right, when you say 20 men, that sounds like, oh, my Jesus, this woman is a prostitute. You know, because the number in your mind just sounds alarming. But in actuality, when you break it down for how long somebody has been on this earth, how long somebody has been sexually active, it becomes, you know, something that it's a reality that you just don't want to have to talk about or deal with, but it's the truth. So, you know.
That's unsettling, brother. Even when you think about the math, I try my best to not think about that. I don't ask those questions. I don't ask questions that that I don't want.
I don't want answers to. Yeah. I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either.
Yeah. I don't.
And I hate when women don't give you the space. This is a real personal pet peeve. I hate when women do not give you the personal space to not discuss certain things. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
There are certain things that might make me feel uncomfortable to talk about, whether it be how, like my last relationship, whether it be my greatest personal failings, whether it be the fact that I used to date your cousin back in the ninth grade. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't like to necessarily talk about those things. So give me the latitude to not talk about that without you making it about you. You know, women have a very slick way of getting you to come out your face and say things you don't want to say by saying to you things like, you don't trust me enough or respect me enough to tell me these things. They try to make it about them. When in actuality,
yeah.
No, it's just about me. I don't like to relive the most embarrassing moments of my life, so I don't want to talk about it, you know?
True that, yeah, and don't ask me. I mean, I don't think you should, you know, like we were saying, I don't think you should ask questions to answers you really don't want to know and you really can't handle, because no matter what number the person gives you, it's going to be one
too
many.
Yeah,
whether they say 3, 5, 7, 9, 18, whatever the case might be, it's going to be too much. You know what I'm saying? So, AJ, what about you, man?
What's the question?
Oh.
So, we got so far. Joe was just commenting on how you handle situations where you know, people ask you, or a woman will ask you, those sorts of questions about how many people you've been with and how you respond in kind with wanting to know that information, or is that something that you even want to know?
Here's my thing. Here's my take on that whole asking questions that are of little relevance in the current situation. I would say that, you know, any question that you feel uncomfortable asking and that's not really relevant, you know, as far as the current situation, if you don't feel good about it, don't answer it. And if that person
mm-hmm.
doesn't respect your space as far as, you know, your level of comfort, then, you know, you take that and you measure that for what it's worth. But I will say this, as far as the number situation, especially for people in our age bracket, and by our age bracket, I mean, you know, over 30. You know what I'm saying? Worst case scenario, if a person is our age and single and dating, you got to give them two people for every year over 21.
Right.
Whether they tell you two people they slept with. And that's low ball.
Yes.
That's if your game is bad. You know what I'm saying? That,
yes.
So if
yes.
your game is bad and terrible, you get laid by two different people annually.
Yes.
From your 21st birthday going forward.
That's crazy.
So,
I mean, but I have to believe that there's some women who are just not out there like that. You know, I mean, I have to believe that, right? I mean, no, y'all don't believe that? You think that everyone...
Yeah, there are.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because, and it takes quantity to be able to realize this. It takes numbers. So
mm-hmm.
if you've been with two women as an adult, or if you've been with two or three women as an adult, your statistics are skewed. You know what I mean? As people that are familiar with statistics know, you need a
mm-hmm.
body... You need a body of data to be able to establish patterns.
Yeah.
So you can't establish a pattern with three people. You know what I'm saying? If you only interacted with three people, that's not enough to establish a pattern that would be, you know, recognized by, you know, data as far as, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, research data standards. So
for sure.
Numerically speaking, if you got to have numbers to realize that, you know, people be out, man. They be out. Of all walks of life, they be out.
They do.
And they enjoy themselves and they have a good time. And they think they're doing so, you know, with impunity, because ultimately, based on, you know, their level of education, their standing in the community, their profession, that they can, you know, say safely, you know, oh, you know, I'm a doctor. You know, I've only been with three people since I was 21. I'm pure Christian woman.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I'm telling you right now, any start at 21 and just do two annually if they're still single.
Right.
Minimum.
Right. Let me say one thing that I think slows down that number, but I do totally. That was the number that I was given to AJ. You have to pretty much figure that a woman has been with somebody every 8 to 9 months of her life.
Meaning,
she's been
with somebody
as
in had sex, or
yes,
been with a new sexual
partner every 8 to 9 months, you know. But I will say this, and I do believe this, just, you know, speaking intimately with a bunch of, you know, close personal friends and family, just over a collection of time, like, you know, my own matter of field research, I think what slows people's numbers down is when people get into the humdrum, mundane circumstance of life, meaning job, bills, I mean, there are a lot of people, and I'm sure all three of us can attest that we can at times slip into this pattern to where we are strictly pretty much people who go to work from 9 to 5, go to the gym, come home and watch a little TV, spend about another hour either reading or working on something personal, and that pretty much becomes your time, as opposed to when you're like 18 to 25 and, you know, every other night you're out meeting new people. As I think of it, I'm trying to think of the last time I met a woman who I could get excited about, and I can't think of one just off the top of my head.
Well, definitely not one over 21.
Right, right.
She's at least had 30 partners.
And a large part of that is just out of respect for the idea that, you know, you get over the age of 30, and you start spending most of your time at work. You spend more time at work than anywhere else.
You ain't lying about
that. So unless you're dating your boss or a lady in the mailroom, then, you know, you kind of, which I don't advise on either level, you're probably not doing doing the same numbers you were doing maybe 6-7 years ago.
True. I mean, it's different. You got wear and tear now, extra mileage, you know what I'm saying? It's a little different. So let me ask you guys this one last question before we wrap up our conversation, our barbershop conversation. Now, I know this much. Every woman I've ever been with believes in this. The jury's still out about me. But, fellas, do you believe in love at first sight?
No.
AJ Jackson.
AJ, it's on me?
Yeah.
At first sight, but at first sight, no. Unless you know a little bit about a person. I think that if you know a little bit about a person and, you know, they already have characteristics and attributes that you admire and respect, and you guys have some type of connection, then yes. I do think that love can happen in certain instances, and it can be true and it can be genuine. But generally speaking, most people that are suckers for love and that fall into that scenario of love at first sight is because they're square and they don't have game. So they don't, you know, they get taken advantage of. But I think an experienced person can accurately detect if they come across somebody that has the qualities to be in there for the long haul, and they can feel something for that person quickly.
True. I'm with it. Jackson, what about you? I mean, you believe in love at first sight. Like I said, every woman I've ever been with believes in love at first sight. You dig?
Yeah.
What about that?
And with all due respect to the fair sex, this is why you all losing in the streets. This is why you all listen to Steve Harvey books. This is why you go to relationship seminars. This is why, you know, because, unfortunately, women have great value in this world for their emotional openness and their, compassion and capacity for compassion. But you don't allow your emotions to guide you through one of the most serious and critically important phases of your life by doing fantasy crap, by talking about love at first sight. You know, it's sort of like lead by my emotions sort of response that gets women in positions where they date men who ain't no good, in jail, possibly gay, you know, crazy baby mama, don't have a job, because you allowed yourself to take the most animalistic and low-level parts of the things that you are attracted to and confuse it and allow it to manifest itself and materialize into love. Okay, you can, people will try to tell you that love will hit you like a ton of bricks. Yeah, sure it will. But if you get the hell out the goddamn way and use some common sense and some logic, you know, I could fall in love with the neighborhood stripper if I allow myself to get further and deeply involved in that scenario without using my mind.
True.
You understand what I mean? When I submit myself to just my carnal feelings and emotions without giving it any intellectual thought. So yeah, I mean, the idea that you say that women believe in that, and that, you know, you got three men on the phone or two men on the phone so far that say that this is like, you know, silliness. You know, it just kind of shows why women are in the spaces they're in relationships. You know, I hate, and I don't mean to say that to be snarky to women. I, like I said, I always feel like women have tremendous value in relationships in the world, mainly because of the way that they bring an element of compassion and the capacity for love and sympathy and things like that that men in many cases don't have. But it can also be your greatest downfall when you say things like, it was love at first sight. How many times have you heard women defend the foolishness that they have done for a man in a relationship because they said they were in love? And then they just didn't like, oh, well, I'm in love, so that absolves me of all these dumbass decisions I've been making for the last 3 years. Like, no, sweetie, that's not how it works. It's like this magical cloak of protection that keeps them from criticism because they say they were in love. That's ridiculous.
True.
Yeah. I think the key to anything you do in life is balance and discretion. And love, love is included in that. So, you have to take time and. Yes, sometimes you have to follow your heart. Yes, but when you're following heart, when you make the decision to follow your heart, that does not mean that you disregard everything that you see with your eyes and your mind, intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
You have to exercise common sense. You have to exercise discretion. You have to exercise balance when you're dealing with someone. And just weigh the situation for what it is. Like we often hit upon is when we're having these discussions, like. That stereotypical woman that falls in love with, quote unquote, falls in love with, the career criminal and womanizer. Like, if you honestly use discretion, balance, and proper decision making, you can outweigh counts for the emotional part as far as the love goes. Love requires balance.
No question about it.
Your heart is probably 25% of that. But there's some other factors that go along with that you need to, throw into the equation and weigh those equally and then make a decision.
Real talk.
Part of why I respect gold diggers.
Hello. Because they make it known.
Yeah.
Because
they make
it
known. And she's not going to be, if a woman is a gold digger and she says, listen, physical attraction and youth and common goals and things like that are important, but I'm just letting you know I'm looking to link up with a man who can help provide me with a very secure and affluent lifestyle. That woman has made a decision that is she's trying to balance out what her emotions can tolerate versus what her common sense says that she needs.
For sure. And, isn't it true that most women, if not all, want a man who can provide? I mean, that's basically what they're looking for. Some of them make it known, and others kind of do it secretly and just make sure they pay attention to the guy who has the most resources or most access.
Exactly. Women are hypergamous for sure.
Indeed they are. Folks, listen, that's all we have for this episode of the Barbershop Conversation. Basically, what we're trying to say is love and logic aren't mutually exclusive. You know what I'm saying? Just because you're in love don't mean you got to be stupid. You dig?
That's right.
I hope you enjoyed our show because we certainly enjoyed having it. This is the Barbershop Conversation. And on behalf of AJ Miller, Jackson Bracey, and the rest of the crew, I'm Joe Paul. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to check out all of our shows. They're available to listen and download at blogtalkradio.com/theanswer show or on my website, joepaulspeaks.com. And remember, folks, if you've got questions, you better believe it. We've got answers. Peace.
The Answer Show.
The answer.